It's Wednesday, April 29th, and you're tuned in to the Tinnaby Podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the whole wide world.
Do we have any questions this week?
I think so. I'm checking now. I'm going through it. We might. I'm not too sure.
I'm scrolling.
I feel like there was something here. I don't really... Oh, yeah, we do.
Go.
This one is from Peter.
Hello, Peter.
He has two questions.
Okay.
Any of you guys want some Tamagotchi Evangelion? Especially Anthony, because he's such a gamer guy.
I don't know. Would that be more gaming or would that be more anime?
I don't know.
It's like, man, having a Digivice. Like, that's the ultimate...
I don't know.
I could go for it.
Okay. I have them all ordered, so whatever.
Oh, this thing is a thing that exists.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
I gotta look this up now.
There's one for Shinji, purple. Mm-hmm. One for Rei, it's white. One for Asuka, it's red.
Oh, that's sick.
And you raise angels and turn them into Evas.
Oh, that's fucking rad.
Yeah, they're kind of... They sold out quick. I don't know where you can get them anymore now, but...
Well,
like, they're...
I'm going to be honest. They're very cool. I'm not going to buy it.
They're like $20.
I would have bought. I thought it was going to be like those $100 Digivices or something.
No. It's like it's a Tamagotchi. It's
okay. All right.
Yeah. Not that special.
All right. Okay. Those look cool, though. I want those.
Yeah. Second question is, have you guys checked out Games Effect? They've done some very cool and amazing anime-based videos. I have not.
Okay, now I remember this question because I read it.
I know.
I checked out this YouTube channel just after you had mentioned it. And it was actually pretty funny. They do a bunch of like anime stereotypes, stuff like that. It's a lot of sketch stuff. And like, how ridiculous would it be if I did the anime shit in real life type of comedy. Mm-hmm. It was pretty good. The one I liked was... I think it was called like Nothing Will Stop Me From Playing Basketball. Mm-hmm. And it was just like a montage of them playing basketball in a classroom. So they have like a paper ball and they do, and they have like their two girlfriends who are like on the side and they're like, whenever something like ridiculous happens or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was pretty good. I liked it.
Yeah, no, I have not checked it out.
But I didn't think it was like insanely awesome. It was cool.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to add to that.
Because you didn't see it.
I didn't see it. Sorry. Yeah. No, I didn't. And with that, those are the questions this week. So thank you, Peter, for writing in.
I'm sure we'll get something from someone else like as soon as we end.
Probably.
It'll be like, hey, it's not too late. Oh, it's too late.
To be fair, the show, last week's show went up a bit later, so.
It did. It's true.
That's why. That's okay. It's all good. Another week, another round of fun things we could talk about. Mm-hmm. Because we got picks.
I do.
So do I.
I got picks. I'm going to keep it on the COVID train. Let's get it out of the way.
Ooh.
So, for people who don't know, Japan is in a state of emergency due to COVID-19.
About fucking time.
I know, right? Fucking finally. They got the best transit and technology in the world, but man, I don't know. Viruses. Fuck that noise.
Welcome to the rest of the world, Japan.
So yeah, a lot of it has to do with the fact that their aging population and stuff like that. So it's like especially deadly to their country.
Yeah.
But on some bright news, the Japan Retro Game Association has stepped up.
And said what?
And they're like, hey, we know that there's going to be lots of people in Japan with their kids staying at home, doing all this stuff. And they're donating 100 Super Famicoms.
Cool.
To families in their area. Cool. And I thought that was cool because they just show the, like, they take these things apart and clean them, like, gut the whole system.
Oh, wow.
Right? To make sure, like, it's not infected and also it's in proper working order.
Cool.
And, like, those kind of retro game consoles, they're all over the place in Japan just because they take care of their shit. Like, it's not in scarce supply.
That's pretty cool.
But I thought that was a nice, cool, like, uplifting story.
Neat.
That I like. In terms of uplifting, it's the opposite. Valve source code got hacked and stolen.
Am I supposed to be sad?
No. It's just okay. It's just like, I don't know, here's like uplifting news and here's theft.
Okay.
I don't know if it's the exact opposite.
Okay, I was gonna say, because
I was trying to transition.
I don't know if I
yeah. I didn't know how to transition from that news story. Fair so I was grasping at straws, Vince.
Okay, I see. I was like, what's he going for here?
So this happened actually kind of just after we finished the recording of our last podcast.
Oh, yeah?
Where Polygon reported that the source code for Counter-Strike Global Offensive and the source code for Team Fortress 2 went public because some hacker got it. And the reason this is a big deal is that if you have the source code of something, you are able to do nefarious shit with game code. Or because these things run servers online.
Right? Yeah.
So if you run your server and you know the source code, you can manipulate your server to manipulate the source code to manipulate the player's computer.
Okay.
And it fucking blew up on Reddit. Like, people talking about how if you play Team Fortress 2, just don't play it.
Wow.
Because going into custom servers is such a risk to your Steam account and to your personal safety in terms of like stuff that's on your computer, credit card numbers, bank statements, whatever.
Wow.
Like, just logging into a server, someone might be able to data mine your computer.
Damn.
Right? So it was a pretty big deal. And then Valve eventually released a statement saying that the leaked source code is a reposting of the CSGO engine from 2017.
Okay.
So it turns out not to be a big deal. But I thought it's just crazy that like a company's source code can get just leaked like that.
Yeah, that's wild.
Right? Just the fact that, hey, here's like everything that makes this game our game. I can't wait to see the Steam store with some sort of CSGO knockoff where that's uses true. The majority of the source code and stuff like that. Like, that's got, even though it's like a couple years old, that's got to be a hit.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
To just the company in general. Oh, people get to see how we do stuff and like our trade secrets, right?
Yeah.
You don't know who has their hands on this code now. So I thought that was a pretty interesting story.
That's great.
After that, we had mentioned before that The Last of Us 2 had been delayed.
Sure had.
Right?
Indefinitely.
Is it indefinitely?
Is that what they said? Delayed indefinitely. Yeah. That and Iron Man VR.
So they have release date.
Is it close to indefinitely?
It's June 19th.
That's nowhere near indefinitely.
That's nowhere close to
indefinitely. So wait, it's like a month delayed?
Yeah. Last of Us Part 2 has been delayed until June 19th. Ugh. And because of this, Ghost of Tsushima has been delayed a month to July 17th because it was originally supposed to launch in June 26th. So I think they saw like, hey, Last of Us 2 is going to fucking cannibalize this other game.
Will it? You think I know what they're thinking, but like, come on.
Like, from a business standpoint, Vince, I'm saying that they have a better chance to sell copies if they don't release it
for the biggest game release of the year. That the guy who's out there looking for the next Walking Dead game also wants the one that's just about the most cliche Japanese samurai?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I think that's the same target audience.
Okay, just checking. Good on you, Sony. You should have moved it back.
But the bigger news here is that the whole game got leaked.
The Last of Us 2. Oh, I heard. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
The ending got leaked. I think it was a script, or I don't know if it was a video, but...
Yeah, I didn't look into it. I saw the headline. I was like, yeah, close.
Yeah, it's just like, this, everything got leaked. And I was like, I don't want to know anything more about that. But get fucked, man.
Like, yeah, that sucks.
That's kind of all I got to say about that is get fucked. Like, how does you let your, like, I understand E3 press conferences being leaked. Like, who gives a shit?
Mm.
Right. But the fucking finale of the biggest blockbuster game for the end of your console life cycle. Right. Cause yeah. PS5 is here.
How does that even happen? Must be all this COVID.
No security. Everyone's working at home. They had to like give people home access. And people were like, but what if I leaked it?
Yeah, probably.
That's kind of nuts.
Kind of awesome.
Yeah. Other game news. This is just a PSA. Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age.
Sure is.
We talked about it. It came out on the Switch. Came out on PS4. Came out on PC. It's on all the things. Mm. If you want to play it, there's options for you to play it.
Yes.
But some features that were previously exclusive to the Switch and Xbox One versions of the game have been patched into the PS4 and PC versions.
Oh, I got an email about this. I kind of read it, but I just ignored it.
Yeah. So now you can reset the license board. Okay. It's not permanent. Okay. So if you mess up on like giving someone something that you don't want, reset that shit. And then the other one that was, I thought, big in the Switch announcement is that you can have 3 different Gambit presets.
What was it before?
1. Oh. And then every time you wanted to change the style of the gameplay, you had to go in, edit all the Gambits, do whatever.
That's useful.
So now they're...
game built on Gambits, I'm surprised that they would limit that.
So yeah, now they have 3 presets. So if you've been on the fence about playing your copy or whatever...
Nope.
Everything's equal.
I have not been on the fence.
Get on the best Final Fantasy video game.
Nope.
Okay. And then the last one is probably the biggest news in general, not even just in... It's out of the video game sphere, but video games and music.
Okay.
Travis Scott.
I heard of this man.
Renowned Sicko Mode... featuring Drake performer.
Yes.
He had a Fortnite concert.
Sure did.
If people don't remember, Fortnite did this before, and they did it with Marshmello, the EDM dude. The guy who wears a bucket on his head. But the big thing about here is it broke streaming records.
Really?
So the Marshmello one had just over 10 million concurrent viewers.
Yep.
And that's like people playing the game, doing whatever. And this one just broke 12 million.
I'm assuming because like it picked up a lot of the mainstream audience.
Mainstream audience, but also everyone's at home.
That's true. What else are you going to do?
So people online also mentioned like, yeah, it's not just 12 million people because it's people... who were playing the game, it's 12 million. But it's also other people who are watching it.
Yeah.
Like, just beside them, looking at the computer, doing whatever. And I watched a video. It's a pretty cool concert.
Yeah.
They do a lot of stuff with the, like, gameplay. Teleports you around. Shoot you off into different environments. It's really sick. But I think the craziest thing is all of the promotion and merch around it. So, according to Musical.ly... Music Ally? I don't know what this website wants me to call it, but
you're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah. So it came with like some skins, right? You can get character skins, you can get dances, stuff like that.
Yep.
There was a couple skins that was like, if you want 2 character skins, they're V-Bucks. I don't know how much that translates to like per dollar.
V-Bucks.
Yeah, they have V-Bucks.
Yeah.
But according to some of the math these guys did, if just 1% of the first concert's audience bought the bundle, they made $2.7 million.
Okay.
And if 10% bought the individual skin, which is cheaper, they would have made nearly $18.5 million.
Wow.
Fortnite is a fucking money-making machine.
Yes, it is.
And I don't think I realized it until right now.
Well, it's important.
Right? If you can get 10% of the 12 million people who watched your thing, that's it? That's like no click-through rate. Who gives a shit? Like, that's guaranteed money almost.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yep.
We have to split up Fortnite. It's too big.
I still don't get the appeal. But, I mean,
maybe. Like I get the appeal of the Battle Royale now. Right? Like, because I got into Apex, I got into all that other
stuff. Yeah, I don't get the appeal of Fortnite.
Dude, Fortnite is... Fortnite is the Maple Story of,
Is it?
Battle Royales.
Is it really?
Because it's all bright colors, super funky, right? It's a lot of primaries, a lot of primary colors.
Is that what people want? I didn't know that.
I think it's what, like, the aesthetics are very appealing to a very young audience. Mm. Like, more so than, like, gruff army man and lots of browns and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying, like, we want the military. Like, I don't think that should be the winner, but... I don't know, Fortnite just seems... maybe you're right.
Yeah.
Maybe I think it's extra level of silliness.
It's definitely silly. Like, you could buy Fortnite Travis Scott dances. I said this already, but... Like, and the whole dance is just you, like, shaking your head. And they constantly release a bunch of cosmetics that are just fucking goofy as shit.
Right.
Right? And I don't know. I feel like that, compounded with the fact that they were one of the first two to, like, really gain popularity in that field, right? It was PUBG and it was Fortnite. Those were the two, right?
Yeah.
And if you're a true gamer, you play PUBG, man.
Yep. Because
it's got bullet drop, bro. But if you like Ninja and you want to hang out with Drake in Fortnite.
Oh, Ninja. I forgot. Right? He played that. Yeah.
Ninja plays Fortnite. And if you want to hang out with Drake, who apparently also played Fortnite.
He did play Fortnite.
He played Fortnite. I don't know how often he plays Fortnite, but he definitely plays it.
Enough to say that he played Fortnite.
If you want to hang out with famous porn star Hitomi Tanaka, who also plays Fortnite.
Well, then why not?
Then you got to get in there. You got to get those V-Bucks.
Okay. Sure.
It's just like such a cultural phenomenon, and it, especially in video games, and it's weird for me to be on the outside of it.
Yeah.
Just because I definitely tried it, and I had no affinity towards it.
Do you know what the secret is?
What?
It just clicked with me right now, and this relates to my week. It's on the iPad.
Is Fortnite on the iPad?
It's on the iPad.
That's crazy.
And you can Bluetooth a controller to it. Like,
I think those are separate servers, though, aren't they? You're not facing, like, PC people.
Oh, I'm sure they're separate, but I mean, like, whatever, you're on...
It's on the iPad.
It's on the iPad.
Is it on your cell phone?
No. Maybe. I guess, yeah, technically it's on iPhone. Unless it's just an iPad app.
Exclusive?
I don't know. It's on the iPad, that's for sure.
Look at that. You play it on a console, you play it on... Yeah, I guess you could play it out. Like, man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Fortnite's crazy. But also this concert's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So yeah, I don't know. If you're like mildly interested in Travis Scott music, like, it's pretty good.
Do kids like Travis? I guess they do like
Travis Scott's Scott. Fucking massive, my dude. He's huge.
No, I know he's huge, but like, I guess the demographic plays Fortnite does not cross in my mind.
In your mind?
With the demographic that listens to Travis Scott.
Well, you gotta.
Because like, I like Travis Scott, but I'm not out there playing Fortnite.
Let's look it up. Player base of Fortnite.
Oh, you're just gonna straight.
I'm gonna just straight Google it. Currently, Fortnite Battle Royale has 78.3 monthly players. Sorry, 78.3 million monthly players.
Okay, I was like, that's it?
That's it? They got a big booster in that concert. No, 78.3 million monthly players.
Okay.
So that's a lot of people.
It is.
And like, your demographic at that point becomes so large that you're going to have like crossovers with almost anything you do.
That's true.
And the fact that out of those monthly players, they got 12 million people to watch a concert.
Yeah, that's true.
It's kind of fucking baller.
Fair enough. Yeah, okay. Well, good for them. I couldn't do it.
What? Fortnite?
No.
What if you had like a toy review, but in the Fortnite world, where you built the Gundam in Fortnite?
No.
But then players could shoot your Gundam.
Then no. Then no.
But then when you finish the Gundam, right, it became a raid boss.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You gotta do your custom.
I'm not into that.
Okay, all right. That's it. Those are my picks. That's all I got.
All right, keeping on the gaming trend, with PlayStation, they also announced their May games that they're going to do for PlayStation Plus.
Which is it?
First up is Cities Skyline.
Ooh!
So, I don't know. I feel like I know what this game is, but also I don't know what this game is.
It's SimCity.
Yes, okay.
It's SimCity, but way more hardcore.
Okay, all right. And then they saw that Nintendo had the huge popularity boost with Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
So they are giving away for free this month.
Mm-hmm.
Farming Simulator 19.
Oh, baby! I can finally play one of those games. Hell yeah.
Needless to say, this month is a wash. So,
dude, I think the only thing that could have topped Farming Simulator is...
What?
Euro Truck Simulator.
Oh, but I would rather play that.
I would rather also play Euro Truck
Simulator. Farming Simulator 19. God. Wow. It's one of those months where you're like, why am I paying for this shit?
I don't know. Yeah, you know what? I don't think I've played an online multiplayer game other than Monster Hunter in a long time. And do you need Plus for Monster Hunter?
Yes, you do.
Okay, shit.
No, you're not getting away from that. Shit. You're not getting away from that.
I think I have mine renewed to like 2021 anyways. So.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And my only other pick this week was kind of a movie-related one. So you know how movie theaters are currently closed and they're not... putting out, or in a lot of movie studios are pushing their release dates back to mm-hmm. like later this year, maybe next year. Mm-hmm. Certain studios like Universal and certain movies, they've decided they're going to skip the big screen altogether and just go straight to video on demand.
Oh, really?
And they've done that. And this has upset AMC greatly.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
And AMC has vowed to not show Universal Pictures movies ever again.
That seems like a bad business move.
I think so, too.
I understand your butthurt, but you literally can't open your business. So you can't expect, even though they're like a giant conglomerate,
yeah,
like you can't expect someone to be like, what if we just never release it? Like, it doesn't work.
Yeah. So a little bit of context. The reason they got bought over to this is because one of the biggest kids movies releases of the years was
Trolls 2 with Justin Timberlake.
Right. And they went straight to video on demand.
Yeah. And they did really well.
Yeah.
There was also some horror movie. I was watching Red Letter Media. And they did like a catch-up, like a COVID catch-up thing.
Yeah.
And there was some horror movie that also went straight to, I think it was The Invisible Man.
Okay.
And it also went straight to video on demand.
Yeah.
And apparently they were like, this is fucking fantastic, right? Like, movie theaters, I don't need to go to anymore. But like, I would totally pay $20 to see a premiere of a movie.
Yeah. So the example uses Trolls too.
Yeah.
Now, when those movies hit the big theater, basically using rough numbers, they said like, yeah, the studio gets back about 50% of revenue.
Yes.
The other 50 goes to the theater.
Yes.
They go video demand, the studio gets 80%.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who are these people that are doing the demand? Like, is it like YouTube, Amazon Prime? Like, what are they streaming on?
No. It could be like Amazon Prime, but you buy it.
Yeah,
like iTunes, that's what I mean. You buy it. Yeah. Like those, like all those services. Yes, yes. So that's basically the difference. Or straight up physical.
Wow.
Right. And so what they use is like, Trolls 2 made up the same amount of money in 3 weeks that the first Trolls did in 5 months at the theater.
Oh yeah, because you're getting such a bigger revenue share.
And right? So obviously, Universal looks at this and says, hey, why the fuck do we need big ticket movie releases now?
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad, but also, that's kind of the way of the world.
And also, speaking from someone who used to work at a movie theater, like, yeah, you kind of have this romance tied to it.
I do, yeah. And I'll never let it go. That and the drive-in.
Oh, the drive-in's so great. But this is where I'm wondering, like, so music, right? With music, it's either you're streaming,
yeah,
you're getting a digital copy,
yep,
and that's usually the main ways of getting your music.
Yes.
The other way that has resurged recently and is vinyl.
Yep.
Right? And vinyl, while obviously not as convenient as CDs.
Yep.
CDs, it leaves CDs in this weird middle ground where if you want a physical version of a thing, you're going to get the vinyl because the people who actually care about sound quality or care about music that much probably have a vinyl player.
Yeah.
Right? They're the people who are going to buy the record. And it's like a nice thing. It's like a well-crafted piece of merchandise, mm-hmm. right? And it's almost like that's what movies is happening to movies. But there's no, like, expensive end yet where it's like, sure, you can download your $20 version and watch it on your 16-inch TV at home or whatever. But I haven't seen too much in the way of, like, other than VIP theaters, right? And even then, most movies don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, that'll be like an interesting landscape for movies to try and like figure out what they're going to do. Or even movie theaters, right?
I don't know if the comparison you're making is like one-to-one there.
I feel like it has similarities.
Because like when you say vinyl, I'm like, well, the equivalent is a Blu-ray. Like if you want the best version of a movie to own,
mm-hmm.
that's it. But if you want, I guess
it's the difference between like owning and service.
Yeah, like right? I would equate going to the movie theater as going to a concert.
Okay,
I mean definitely different scales.
Yeah,
a concert's definitely not as convenient.
And, yeah,
and let's just say you aren't always guaranteed the best performance.
Fair,
but
or a performance.
But I think like that's the sort of you're right. But I believe that's kind of the similar experience you're going for. That's always confused me, though, that vinyl is still the number one way to consume, like, music.
Physical music?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we have the technology, obviously, that mm-hmm. you don't have to be on those large discs,
but yeah.
The fact that it's remained.
I always wondered why that, too. Like, I always thought, like, because of the permanency of vinyl, right? Like, vinyl doesn't really deteriorate.
Right.
When you do buy it, like I said, again, it's like it's like a showpiece almost, right? Yeah. It's like, here's this record I really like. It's like the big picture. Like, mm-hmm. sometimes you get the gatefold record cases and stuff like that. And, like, I always thought about it like that. But the fact that so many people went through the hoops to, like, get a vinyl player and stuff like that, I'm like, man.
And they're not cheap.
Well, you can get cheap ones.
Yeah, and it's just, you're right, it is a hassle too when you want to listen to them, because it's not like...
You don't got that shuffle.
I was going to say, oh, you don't got that shuffle. You right? also don't got that mobility.
True.
Like, you can't, like, even if it's just in your house, unless you got some sort of wicked speaker set, like wireless speaker set up, you're more or less restricted to that room.
Either that or, like, was it, like, my dad when he was a kid, he used to have a record player that would automatically flip the record when it got to the end.
Oh, shit.
And it was like, yeah. And it's like, oh, fuck, the future is now in the 60s. Like,
Yeah. Nowadays, you just got two turntables.
Oh, yeah. You just got to go. Slide. You got to buy two vinyls.
Yeah. You got to slide the mixer.
Yeah. That's kind of weird that the old technology.
Yeah, it's weird. But, like, hey, that's that. But anyways, that was my my only other pick this week.
I wonder how movies are going to navigate going forward, or movie theaters more specifically, because movies have navigated forward. They're like digital demand, baby.
That's true. I mean, it's weird. It's weird that, like, you still see, like, records being broken for box office numbers, mm-hmm. but if you actually look at theater attendance, they're lower.
Yeah,
and it's all because of those fucking, like, 3D, 4D, IMAX.
Yeah, we're gouging you for more money. I'm sure they add, like, concession stands in there somehow.
Sure. And I guess it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Less audience, you gotta raise the ticket price.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That's why I only go see movies on Tuesdays, baby.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Get that cheap night.
Mm-hmm.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's all you got?
That's it.
What have you been doing in your week, Vince?
I have been staying healthy during this unprecedented time.
I'm sorry, what? Did you just read off a work email?
Yes.
I thought you didn't need your phone. Throw that away.
I wanted to know if it was important.
Oh, my God. It's not even work. Listen, your work hour ended 4 hours ago.
Uh-huh. It did. I have been staying healthy during this unprecedented time.
Freaking weirdo.
What have I been doing? So, yes, I think I outlined it last week. Yeah, I've been doing more exercise. I finally have 2 weeks under my belt with my new Nikes.
Okay.
Those pink ones.
Oh, the cheating ones. The ones that the Olympics banned because they're cheating running shoes.
You know,
they're for cheaters.
Good thing I'm not competing. You don't really notice, and this is like with anything, right? You don't really notice how good something is.
Yeah.
Until you revert back.
Until you don't use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what that shoe is. I've been using it for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, okay, I'm going to go back to one of my older shoes just because, like, I was like, I'm doing something short. I don't need, like, the marathon shoe. I just need, like, around the block, 30K,
mm-hmm.
20 minutes. And it's like, whoa, you can feel it.
These older shoes suck dick.
Yeah, you're like, wow. Wow.
What are these things called? Vapor Max?
The 4%.
Nike 4. So, actually, do you know why they called it 4%?
I can't remember.
Because they said this will guarantee you a 4%
gain
on your performance.
Yeah, there's...
And then they're coming out with, like, the 6% later or, like, the 8% or some shit.
Yeah. Yeah, they're, like, the Zoom something 4%? I don't know. Zoom...
That's fucking crazy. When I watched that Wall Street Journal video on it, I'm like, Jesus Christ, how the fuck...
Yeah. Yeah, so that's made running exciting.
Okay.
I was able to, like, it's cool too. It's not just about speed and, like, the return, but it's just, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, you don't feel as, let's say, battered, or, like, after you go running for a while,
like, your feet hurt.
Your feet hurt, or your legs hurt, or your knees feel sore or something. Didn't get that.
I recently went out for a 2-hour walk, not even a run, a walk in my Converse.
Oh,
And I came back and my feet hurt like a motherfucker.
That shoe doesn't have a sole.
It does not. You're correct. It felt like I was walking on cement.
Yeah, yeah. That's basically what it is. But no, it was, it's cool. It's like my muscles felt like they were worked.
Yeah.
But I didn't get that like weird pain.
Oh, okay.
So it was great. Didn't have shin splints. I was like, wow, this is wonderful.
I'm worried about running. Because I ran later last year, like in this, like,
yes,
right, and I eventually got shin splints,
yes,
and they hurt like a bitch,
yes,
and every time I would take a break I would be like, okay, let's try running again, and yeah, it still hurt,
yes,
and I didn't know like when to do it again, and I'm like, oh shit, are my legs broken? Like, what do I do?
Well, you gotta work up to it, right? Ugh. Can't just run.
Why not?
It doesn't work. Like,
just let me run.
People just don't go up and be like, I'm gonna bench 300 pounds now.
Yeah, but that's because like 300 pounds is heavy.
Yes, and right? Running is taxing on your body.
But I can still physically run. Like, I got the cardio to run that far. It's but just my
the muscles.
Bones are weak.
Well, you got to do more training.
What if I got more new bones?
Yeah, try that.
All right.
Try that one.
I'll try and get new bones.
Try getting new bones.
Yeah.
So that was that. That was great. I continue to watch the Michael Jordan documentary.
Yeah.
Continues to be awesome. This past week is about Dennis Rodman. That was fun.
Did they mention how he hangs out with Kim Jong-un?
No, because this is back in his Bull days.
Okay, all right.
They talk about how he dated Carmen Electra and Madonna.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Good for him.
So that was fun.
I'm just Googling Carmen Electra now because I want to see what she looks like.
Now?
Yeah.
Old. She's not young anymore.
She looks like plastic surgery.
Well, yes. She looks like Hollywood.
She looks like... she. You know what? That's perfect. She looks like Hollywood.
Yeah. I finished Astro Lost in Space.
Oh, yeah, yeah. How was this?
That was really good. I think last week I said it was like a sci-fi.
Yeah.
I'm going to retract that statement.
Because it changed into something
It's
else.
A sci-fi, but it definitely straddles the line of like, is this a comedy anime?
Okay.
And they even go meta and talk about it in the show. But what do you know? When you get to towards the last...
Like they break the fourth wall?
No, they just find some way to talk about it. And then they're like, what the fuck are you going on about?
Oh, weird. Okay.
Anyways, but towards like the back half of the season,
mm-hmm.
like some of the twists are wild. Like some of the shit they pulled, they're just like, what the fuck?
Quick spoilers, go now.
No, yeah. Yeah, and it gets pretty dark. And then you're like, oh shit, that's who these kids are. That's why they're here in space.
That's why they get sucked into a sentient black hole.
Exactly. Like, they answer all the questions and you're like, what the fuck? And then it's just like...
It wasn't like, oh, you guys are ooh-woo, and then it's like, it sucked them in?
No, it was just... And then it was just like, wow, it just keeps going from there. Well, okay. All right.
Good, that sounds good sick. Enough. Is this on Crunchyroll?
No. It's on Funimation.
Ugh, disgusting.
I think Funimation's free with ads, right?
This is a Crunchyroll household, Vince.
Oh.
You know this.
Oh.
And now that you've betrayed us.
Well, that's what I'm watching Love is War Season 2.
Have you seen that meme with the black guy pretending to be all the different streaming services?
No.
Oh, I gotta show you that later.
Okay. Did that Final Fantasy VII Remake. I meant to finish it, but I got caught in the completion loop. And there's like a quest line I couldn't figure out, and I didn't want to look it up, so
okay.
I spent countless hours searching for something. I found it.
What was it?
A hidden dungeon.
A hidden dungeon?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
That's like, all I can really say.
Okay, all right.
And it turns out the reason I couldn't find it is because it was in the mission that I was supposed to go into next.
Oh, okay.
Right. But now I am more or less... at the final stages. I'm in Shinra. We're doing shit.
Yeah. If you guys don't want spoilers for this game,
yeah,
don't watch the Donkey review of it.
Oh, yes.
Because I watched it, and I was like, fuck. That game looks wild as shit, but
The launch trailer also has spoilers.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like the Final Fantasy Square Enix
launch trailer. Well, I guess trailer. At that point you wouldn't know it's a spoiler, right? But like in the context of his review, he just like straight up goes...
Oh, he tells you.
Here's this is the thing that happens. Oh my God, it's fucking wild. And it's like, fuck.
Yeah, yeah. So that's that game. And I think that was mostly it for the things that I've been continuing to do. At work, because there's no one there,
mm-hmm.
We still get shipments in and stuff for like office use. And I borrowed, because we got the new iPad Pros in.
Yeah.
So I wanted to borrow it out because the people on my team weren't there.
Would you rent it like a library?
Well, I was just there. I was using it for the day and whatnot. Because I was like, maybe I should buy one of these instead of a new MacBook.
Mm-hmm. No. Whoa. Okay.
Because I'm in that decision-making process, grandma. Right? Where it's like, do I get the iPad Pro or do I get the new MacBook?
I didn't realize there were two Lolas in this house.
I was like, what do I get? Because people are saying, like, because everyone at my work believes that, like, they don't need anything except an iPad.
Yeah.
And I've always been on the other side where it's like, no, you need a computer. Like, you need a real computer. I don't care if you're running Windows or Mac OS. You can't get everything done with an iPad.
Well, that's because you were doing things with the computer before, right? Like, you were like, these people, when they get the iPad, they're browsing the Netflix.
No, but that's the thing, like, they're like, but Vince, we don't use Excel, Vince, we're not doing any of your account. I'm like, that's not even what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, your day-to-day activities. Like, what are you talking about? I search the web, I look on YouTube, and then I make some slides.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, but now have you tried doing that all at the same time, like you would on a regular computer? Doesn't happen on an iPad. Mm-hmm. Like, I got
multitasking, okay?
I got stopped by so many issues, like, just day-to-day issues. Things that I didn't even think about.
Oh, when you were using it.
When I was using the iPad. I had a call, right?
Yeah.
When I have a video call, I'm like, okay, I usually open up, like, a WordPad document.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Oh, shit. That sucks.
Like, if you take the video off.
Yeah.
And that's it. You're done.
Because
it registers as the app is working in the background, but, like, you can't see anything.
Yeah.
I can't even remember if the mic was still working.
Okay.
It just says that I'm on the call, but, like, I don't know what that...
It doesn't give you, like, a little mini window of showing you the call?
Or... No.
That fucking sucks.
No, it doesn't. And I was like, okay, well, whatever. Now, the way I like to work is, like, I usually have, like, a YouTube page open.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people do this. This or Spotify.
Uh-huh.
Something in the background, then you're doing your work. You can't have either of those apps open in the background, right? You can have Spotify open in the background.
Okay.
But, like, say you want to skip a track.
You have to go into the app.
Yes.
Oh, that sucks.
And YouTube just closes altogether. Right?
That sucks.
Yeah. And, like, I know the iPad has multitasking and you can snap, like, two apps to the
thing.
Yeah.
It's not the same.
But it's not the same and it doesn't work that way.
But what if I could do, like, infinity apps?
Fuck off.
Right? What if I had 16 gigs of RAM and I could just open all the windows?
And but here's what I'll say, and the thing that I think that most clicked with me is, like, it doesn't matter what OS you're on, if you're a Mac, if you're on Windows,
okay,
whatever else is out there. I think the world is pretty much living off of what is it, like, web connected services,
mm-hmm,
like Google, whatever, and OneDrive.
Yep.
All of those are fucking shit on the iPad.
Hey.
Like, just using Google Sheets or, like, or what is it, their PowerPoint equivalent? Slides? Is it Google Slides?
I think it's Slides. It's Google Slides.
Yeah. Oh, my God. What a nightmare.
Google
what
Slides
a
is garbage.
Fucking nightmare.
Google Slides is trash.
Yeah, now imagine as an iPad app. What a nightmare. What a fucking nightmare. Oh, my God. Needless to say, I will not be buying an iPad.
Oh, good.
I will be buying a MacBook.
Good.
That's
it's the lesser of two evils.
Yes, it is.
I would prefer you buy a PC.
No.
Let me tell you about these sick Alienware laptops, bro.
Let me tell you about the ecosystem.
LED lights, bro.
Let me tell you about the ecosystem.
Yeah, but what if you could have a jet engine in your laptop?
But
the Apple ecosystem. Yeah, you're too far in. It's over.
Like, I totally forgot that when I'm wearing my Apple Watch,
yeah,
my MacBook unlocks.
What? Is it, like, check your biometrics?
Yeah, if I'm wearing it, and obviously the password's on my computer, if I open the lid, it'll check my watch. And if I'm wearing it, and I put my hand close enough, like I were to type, it just unlocks.
That's insane.
I know! And I'm like, that's why I'm into this crap. You know, and then it's just like, oh, I'm looking at a video at my laptop. Where's my Apple TV? Over there. Let's just flip it over there.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Right?
Right.
And then I have my AirPods, which just follows wherever it's connected.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just like, that's the life I live.
Okay. You know what? You've sold me. On your decision. Ah. Not on buying.
I see.
I am not in the ecosystem.
Ah, but you should be.
I own an Apple product.
Not the right one.
I own an Apple product.
An outdated one that is not even part of the ecosystem anymore. I don't even know if iTunes is part of the ecosystem anymore.
I still use iTunes.
I haven't opened
iTunes. Oh, I had a scare the other day. I updated iTunes, and then it didn't recognize my iPod, and I was like, fuck!
So what did you do?
I reset iTunes, and then it showed up again. Oh, that's fine. My God. I just reset my computer, and then my iPod
that's
showed up.
That's scary shit.
I was like, oh no, I gotta get a new thing.
Yeah, no. No. No iTunes for me.
You don't subscribe to the podcast on the iTunes?
The podcast is its own app.
What? Damn. They've evolved.
Yeah, I think they broke out iTunes into separate things.
Oh.
Like iTunes is now books, iTunes music, mm-hmm. and podcasts.
Oh.
But I think iTunes proper is just music now, which I want to say is different from Apple Music.
Apple Music is the streaming service.
Yeah.
But I think iTunes is you can buy an album.
Yes. I have neither because I'm on Spotify, but I should have Apple Music instead now that I think about it.
But then who are you going to split it with?
Apple Music?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I'd have to get rid of a group.
Right, you're on a group plan.
Shit.
Unless you want to be like, sayonara, bitches, I'm out.
Forgot about that. You're right.
I'm sure you're paying like 50 cents a month for Spotify right now.
No, that's not on my bill.
So. Someone just tells you when to pay and you're like, okay.
Yeah, it's once a month. It's a lunch thing.
All right.
Okay, yeah, that was my week. I think, yeah.
You remember the things I did last week?
I believe so. It was Valorant.
Mm-hmm.
You played the Wolf Guy in League.
Oh, yeah, I did say that. Forgot about that.
You watched some movies with your parents.
That movie was bad. Yep. The movie's still bad.
And Persona.
Yeah, those two of those things I'm still doing.
Oh, okay.
So I played some more Valorant. That game continues to be very good.
I hear it's picking up steam.
Yeah, so the thing is, though, like with more people joining, like the more toxic people I'm getting.
Yeah, that's about right. That checks
so,
out.
So like I'll get maybe in my match, it's like four out of the five people, so other than me, they're like, oh, sorry, guys. It's like my first game. And I'm like, fuck. So that's an auto loss, right? There's other ones where, like, the game will start and then someone will just go AFK. Like, you start the game. Like, they'll pick their champion, load into the game, and then not play a single round.
Huh.
Right? And it's made my time with that game less enjoyable. Significantly.
Really?
Yeah. But I'm just trying to play it enough so I can get to the max rank of the beta. And then I unlock all the beta rewards for when the game actually comes out.
Mm-hmm. Right, how long would that take you?
I don't know. I'm like halfway there already. I'm playing like two or three games a day. So it's not too bad.
How long are the games?
Depends if you, like, it can go from like, I don't know, 30 to 45 minutes to like an hour and a half.
Oh, for a game?
Yeah.
One match.
Not one round.
Oh.
But like one full game of like max 24 rounds.
24 rounds?
That's if like, so the thing is, it's like first to 13 wins. That's how it works, right?
Kills.
No, wins. So it's match based. It's Counter-Strike.
Oh, right.
So one, let's put it into Counter-Strike terms. Okay. One person is counter-terrorist, one person is terrorist, right?
Okay, I forgot.
One person is the bomb, or in this case, the spike.
Yeah.
And then if either the counter-terrorists kill all the guys,
yeah.
Or if the terrorists kill all the guys and or plant the bomb and it explodes, then each of them win their respective matches.
Mm-hmm.
And then that is one round.
Oh.
And then it resets, you do it again. There are some matches, there are some, not matches, but maps I'm finding that are way more balanced than the other. There's a couple that are just, I don't know the map names, but I know when I load into it, I'm like, fuck! Like, I'm going to hate playing defense in this one. I'm going to hate playing offense in this one, right? And if you have that, like, that T-side advantage or that CT-side advantage, it's kind of rough because it's not like you're switching back and forth every single time. It's, you play 12 rounds of terrorists and then you play 12 rounds of counter-terrorists, and if your map is sided for you or not sided for you and they just fucking steamroll, that means they have to win less, right? So they don't have to perform as well as the other team. And it's kind of rough, and it is a beta. I'm sure they'll iron all that shit out. But the two characters I've been really liking so far are Cypher and Sage.
Okay.
Cypher, his abilities is... So everyone has like a signature ability. You don't have to buy it. It's just there for you and it recharges throughout the match.
Mm-hmm.
So for Cypher, he throws out a camera. And it's that's literally it. He throws out a camera. You can use it to scan an area without making yourself vulnerable. But then you can also shoot like a shock dart kind of thing.
Okay.
And if it hits somebody, it reveals their location until they take it out.
Okay.
Right. So it's really good for scouting out areas. If you think there's like a guy with an op peeking around a corner, you check out the camera instead, look. And then also the advantages of whatever your camera sees while you're in it, your teammates also see on their map. Right. So if I spot like four guys in one bomb site, they're like, cool, we're safe to go rush into this other bomb site. His other one is it's like a tripwire. So you throw up like a little cap up on a wall and it has to be to like a laser going to an adjacent wall. And if someone walks through it, they trip the wire. It tells you that like someone tripped your wire. And if they stay in it too long, it kind of gives them like a shock and it like disorients them, kind of like a flashbang. And then the last one is a lot of characters have this kind of thing where it's either like a smoke cloud. It's something to obscure vision. But his is called, it's like a net? I forget what it's actually called. But he throws this thing down, and it's like a cybernetic barrier, I guess. And then if you walk through it, the enemy gets slowed. So it's, those ones aren't too interesting, even across all characters, because it's the same thing, just different skin, kind of. And his ultimate is what I really like him for, is that after you kill an enemy, if you use your ult on the enemy...
Yeah.
It reveals the location of all their teammates on the map for like a brief moment. So it goes boom, and then you get like 3 seconds of I can see everyone through walls and I know where everyone is on the map, and then it goes away. So you get that positional advantage. And then Sage is a healer. So her signature ability is that she can heal teammates or heal herself. She has another one that you buy. It's a ice orb. So you chuck out the orb and it leaves a bunch of ice on the ground and it significantly slows the other, like anyone who walks on it, even your teammates. So you gotta be careful where you throw it.
Is he gonna friendly fire?
Not that I know of.
Okay, that's weird that would happen.
I've never really tried to fire at my like teammates, so I don't really know.
Okay.
But what else is there? There's like an ice wall. The ice wall is really fucking tricky because it brings the y-axis into games, like where normally in Counter-Strike, right, it's like everyone's gonna be around eye level, they're gonna kind of like, unless there's like a ramp you're gonna look up, but otherwise people are gonna be on the floor.
Yeah,
right. But there's characters like Jett who's able to just like dash around and like jump up really high that bring the y-axis into consideration, and it really fucks with people.
Okay.
So there was one match where at the beginning of the round, I was on counter-terrorists, and I walled near an entry point to the base or to the bomb planting zone. I did that, and then I placed the wall under me, so it lifted me up. And then I went on top of a box. It's like, you can't get there. Like, you can't get up on there. So when I saw 5 people run out of the base, I just went, go, 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 and mowed them all down. Because they're not looking up. They're just looking straight, right? Mm. And it's really fucks with people's perception. It also messed with me, too. Like, there's a lot of areas in the game where you can kind of, like, clip onto an object. There was one in a hallway in one of the maps where, like, it's like a little light, right? But if you have a character that can, like, have upward mobility, you can get on top of that light. And it's like, okay, cool, I'm on a floodlight. Like, how the fuck is anyone... No one's going to look up there, right? Like,
bringing me back to Call of Duty 4.
It's crazy, yeah. You just, like, hang out on certain areas, and you're just like, uh-huh, I'm above you, boom, boom, boom. And, and also, because there's no respawn, it's too late, right? Like, once they're out of the round, they're out of the round. Unless you're Sage, because her ultimate is Resurrection. So it's huge just to bring... Like, someone gets early opt out of a fight, resurrect that shit, bring them back in, and do stuff like that. There's a lot of other champions that seem pretty interesting. There's one that he's able, like his ultimate is that you pick a point on the map and you teleport there. That's it. That's the ability. Like, you can teleport anywhere you want. And if you really know the map, you can manipulate it. So, like I said, using that vertical axis,
yeah,
you can teleport to an area on the map that you know there's like three boxes piled high. And it's like, oh, look, I'm behind you and above you. Kung, 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 and you're all dead, right?
Huh.
So that's usually like the people who want to make the plays. They go that guy or they go Jet, the one with the wind powers. But it's been cool. I'm getting used to like all the sprays. I'm actually like going into the practice area and like trying to move my mouse during the sprays to figure it out. But it's very frustrating playing on on Wi-Fi. Because my desktop's not in a place where I can direct connect.
Okay.
And so sometimes like you'll be in a firefight and then all of a sudden like the screen will just freeze. And I'm like, well, shit. Like, I'm dead. So that sucks. But the majority of my time has still been Persona 5 The Royal. I just went into the casino map.
Yep.
And I'm waiting to send the calling card for the final boss.
Mm-hmm.
Or not the final boss of the game, but the final boss of that area.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Like, I mentioned it before that there were some changes, but I didn't realize, like, how many changes there are in this game. First off, remember guns in Persona 5?
Like the ones you use for your weapons?
Yeah, you get guns, right? And you can like shoot whatever. You remember how like you only had a certain amount of bullets per dungeon, like per run of the dungeon?
Yeah.
Now they just reload after every battle.
Oh, what?
Yeah, it's fucking awesome.
Because I used to use that all the time. But, or not all the time. Like, I never used it because I was like, ugh.
Yeah, ammunition, right? And you want to save it for like a really dire situation. But now it's just like, yeah, use it. Because after every battle, you get full ammunition back.
What?
It's great. The other thing is like, he has like a grappling hook that I realized was not in the original game.
Yeah.
So they've changed the dungeons and such that you can like, there's certain areas that you can grapple hook. And then, like, swing around to. And there's, like, these hidden areas where you can collect these things called will seeds. And if you collect all three will seeds in a dungeon, you get, like, a super awesome accessory. What else is there? There's, if you level up a certain confidant, instead of ambushing by, like, sneaking up to them and doing whatever, you can ambush them with the grapple hook from a distance.
Oh, wow.
And then when you ambush with the grappling hook, they like the enemies have a chance of having some sort of ailment.
Oh, wow.
Like fear or poison. Wow. or burn or whatever. Confuse. Like they just have it when you start the battle.
Wow.
There weren't phone calls after confidant hangouts. So after you hang out with your confidants now, when you go back home, you get a phone call from them being like, hey, thanks for hanging out. And you get one other dialogue option and it gives you a chance to level them up faster.
Oh.
There's a shop in Mementos now. There's like a new kid who like hangs out in Mementos.
Okay.
And he's trying to study human behavior. And then as you're rolling around in Mementos, you can like get his currency and then like buy stuff at his shop.
Oh, wow.
What else is there? Oh, Showtime attacks.
Yep.
That stuff's really cool. And I think, I don't know, one of the most interesting ones is the alarm mode for the Velvet Room.
The alarm mode?
So after you level up, win a certain amount of battles, it's not set all the time, it's kind of random, but the more you grind, the more it'll happen. The Velvet Room can go into alarm mode, and basically like a warning alarm goes off. So the next time you go in, you have your persona fusions or your persona itemizations and stuff like that, they'll be more powerful.
Oh.
So you'll get more stuff to carry over to the other guy, you'll get... better items. So like say you, I don't know, you're gonna get a whip, right? If you itemize the persona during the alarm, you get the R version of the whip, and then it's like even better, right? And then others, but also it guarantees eventually a mishap. You know how there's like fusion mistakes and stuff like that? It guarantees one of those. So the first one you do, you might get this awesome persona, but the second one you do, it'll be a guaranteed mess up.
Oh.
Right. And so that can let you get personas that normally you weren't able to get before. It's really helpful in the early game. But I learned that a lot of the stuff is locked behind the alarm mode. So if you want like the best weapons for all of your things, like you have to get this persona and then itemize it during the alarm. And then the itemization during the alarm has a chance to fuck up. Like even if it says it doesn't. So you have to like reload, and it's a lot of grinding.
It's a little RNG.
It's a little RNG, baby. But it's cool. And then I learned online, because I'm using the guide, that the whole like fest portion of the game that's like later on, you can just miss it. Like, it's not like you beat the game, then you unlock the fest portion.
Oh.
You can just straight miss it if you don't max out the new confidants.
Oh, wow.
If you don't max out the new confidants, they will lock out the new half of the, or the new quarter end of the game from you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's kind of fucked.
Wow. Jeez.
Yeah. So I did, was it Kasumi had her own dungeon and stuff like that. They've showed her using personas and stuff before. It's not spoilers. But yeah, it's all this really cool stuff. The weird thing about Kasumi, though, is that like up until recently, she like existed outside in like a separate reality of your main character.
Okay.
Where she was totally separate from all of your party members.
Yeah.
Right? So whenever you went to go do something with her, eventually you came back to do something with your things. And it wasn't like, where were you? Oh, were you hanging out with the gymnastics lady? It's just like, bro, mementos though. Like, they don't mention her at all. Yeah. It's just completely separate. It's only until recently that it's been like, oh, is this your friend? Oh, I heard she's like a whatever. But it's always like very minute details. Like, it doesn't matter really in the main story. So I feel that once you get into the actual like back end, it's going to be like, I'm here all the time, and it'll be a story dedicated around her and your companions,
right,
or whatever.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, I got a lot of my confidants good to go. I'm still a monogamous dating the teacher. I've decided not to go the polygamy route.
Wow. No,
shame on me.
Yep.
But those confidant, maxes, those confidant tens, their abilities, hella useful. Mm-hmm. Super useful.
Mm.
I wish I did that in the first game, because oh my god, like, now the game's kind of a joke.
Yeah, it gets real easy now.
Yeah, like, I'm in the back end of it, and even though I'm playing on hard, like, and I was complaining before about being one shot, like, going into a battle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, oh, someone ambushed me, and then Futaba's like, position hack, motherfucker.
Yeah,
now you're ambushed. It's like, oh shit. And just having all these different abilities and stuff. Like, I have a persona. It's my healing persona. It has the one where it's heal everyone in your party to max and also cure all status ailments.
Wow.
But then I have a trait on that persona that makes all healing skills cost 75% less SP.
Whoa. That's cheating.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, I took like 3 damage. Blah, 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 blah. Everyone's good. So it's cool. Like, I'm not even using the DLC personas anymore because it doesn't fucking matter. Everyone's super powerful, and it's fun. I like seeing all of the confidant stories that I haven't
seen
before, and I never got around to in the first playthrough.
Cool.
That's good. It's very good. I maxed out. Yeah, I'm in November now, and I maxed out all my social stats 2 months ago.
Whoa.
So. Everything I do now is just like, I guess more points. Sure, why not?
Oh yeah, forgot about those. But yeah,
cool. And yeah, you do have a lot more free time, as promised. There's a lot of situations in the story where like you can't leave LeBlanc.
Yeah,
but you can still do stuff inside LeBlanc. So you can go make coffee, and then you have the SP items for a dungeon later,
mm-hmm,
and stuff like that. So because they give you more free time, I have almost no need for items. Yeah, I just crafted the infinite lockpick.
Mm. Skeleton key.
Yeah, it's pretty much a skeleton key.
Yeah.
That's really good. There was a part in the story where I had so much free time at night in LeBlanc, but I couldn't leave LeBlanc, where I just made so many coffees that now I just have like 30 of the item that gives me 100 SP back. So like I don't have to conserve SP in battles anymore.
Yeah.
And then currently going through the casino dungeon, I grinded so much in mementos that every single random enemy was an auto-kill battle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was just walking through the dungeon, and you get that little, like, hand swipe insta-kill stat screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just did that the whole dungeon.
Wow.
And I was like, cool, this dungeon's easy as fuck. Who cares?
Wow. It's one way to go through it.
Yeah. That that insta-kill, it's a grinding godsend. Because that's all I was doing in Mementos. Like, because, was it, with that new shop guy? Each floor, you can get stamps in Mementos. And if you collect enough stamps, you go to the shop guy and he gives you, like, you can buy passive upgrades. So enemies give you 150% more XP or 150% more money. Okay. Or when you pick up one of the items on the ground, they give you, like, right now I have it set so when I pick up one of them, it gives me 8 items.
Wow.
So of the crafting materials, I have a majority of them 99.
Cool.
So, like, I no need for anything. So it's cool. The grind is fun. You just walk around, insta-kill people, get personas. It's
neat.
I want to see what that new shit is. Because
that's the reason you're playing
The reason I'm playing it. Yeah. Right. And then I looked up the Festa from 3. I was like, I should have played
this. You should have played. It was hard, though.
Yeah, Persona 3 was hard, too. Because, yeah, like, you also did...
Fest was hard.
You didn't get to control your teammates.
That was part of the charm.
Sometimes they're just like, that guy reflects fire. Ajadine. It's like, why are you doing this to me?
Yep, that's about right.
So, yeah. I completed the whole, like, Persona Request Confidant.
Yeah.
Did all that. It's cool. Cool game.
Nito Bandito.
I enjoyed a lot.
Nito Bandito.
And then, I think the only other thing I've been doing different is, like, I've been trying to get out of the house more.
Okay. Just
go on some more walks.
Okay.
Maybe exercise a little bit, do some more yoga. And then I'm trying to finish this book that I mentioned, like, last year.
A book.
Like, a book, not like a manga.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called Talking to Strangers.
Okay.
It's by Malcolm Gladwell. He did the book Blink. He did a lot of famous books. But it's all about, like, what we get wrong about talking to people we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, like, certain assumptions we make, what the reality is of most situations and stuff like that. It's a pretty interesting book, but I think I want to talk about it more once I finish it.
Okay.
And then maybe I'll bring it up again. But, yeah. That's my week, baby.
That's cool. Paul just wrote in.
Hey! Called it.
He had to get that question to chew on before we ended it this week. So here we go. With the remakes of Resident Evil 2 and Final Fantasy 7 being so well received, let's talk video games. First, talk about the remaster.
Go.
When they remaster a game that you already have, do you prefer to play the remaster with the upgraded graphics and sometimes upgraded gameplay, or the classic experience with its charm and limitations of the older gen systems?
I definitely have to be in a mood to do either. If it's like a remake, like the Resident Evil 2, most of the time I'll play the new one, where I'll go back to I'll do the new one again. I'll be like, oh, that's a fun story because it's just more updated and stuff like that. There'll be occasional times where it's like I want to like go back and experience that stuff, and like it's cool to see like how far a game has come, right? But usually in most cases it's the new one. Like even if I get even if it's just a remaster, like I'll usually play like the PS3 versions of the Metal Gear games.
Yep.
Right? Instead of hooking up my PS2 and doing whatever.
Yep.
And a lot of it just comes down to convenience, right? Like, I have a CRT, but it's so much easier just to hook up something to my HDTV, right? And stuff like that. So,
yeah, I'm always with the new stuff, and it mostly comes down to necessity.
Okay.
Because I don't have the old stuff anymore.
Oh, yeah, because you're a monster, and you sell it all off.
And also, if I did, I would never touch it because I can't stand the Jaggies, man.
Yo, but those Jaggies are part of your childhood.
I don't fucking care.
Okay.
They can die with my childhood.
It's like that whole situation I think we talked about a couple years ago with the Legend of Zelda remakes on the 3DS, where they remade Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this like really perfect thing of these games look on the 3DS like I remember them to look. And if you go too far back, you're like, oh, this looks like shit.
Yeah, yeah, more or less. Like, even with, Resident Evil, like, the examples you brought, Resident Evil 2 and Final Fantasy 7, those are completely different games.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they, I don't know if you could count that in this conversation, because, like, yeah. Because now, at this point, like, it's not about one's newer and one's older, it's about, like, well, which, like, they're different games. Yeah. What do you want to play?
There are also certain situations where they're better. Like the remaster of Final Fantasy 12 or Final Fantasy 10, right? Like, those are the international editions of those games, the ones that didn't come out in Japan. Yeah. So if I go back and play that game on the PS2, like, I'm getting a subpar experience almost. Yes,
for sure.
Right.
Yeah, so I always go with a new one.
I think the only exception is if the remake is on a handheld.
What do you mean?
Like, right now, I've beat Majora's Mask both on the N64 and on the 3DS, right? But if I go back to play Majora's Mask, I play it on the N64, right? Because I think I'd rather play it on a TV, even if there's jaggies, than play it on my 3DS.
Fair enough. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I can see that. Next, with reference to remakes that I mentioned at the beginning, what are your thoughts on this trend? Do you like them completely remaking an existing story or game? If so, what games do you think deserve a remake in this style, and what games would the studios think need a remake?
I think the studios would want to remake whatever will get them money.
Yeah, like, man, I think they would remake every fucking thing under the sun.
Look, they're remaking, what is it, fucking Resident Evil 4 again, and that game's been re-released since it came out.
Yeah.
Right? It's been on every platform imaginable.
Yeah. More or less.
In terms of stuff that I want to see remade, I don't know. Like, a lot of it is not even, like, remakes. Like, I would just, like, here's this game just a little bit upscaled and then put out, like, just a lot of stuff on the PS2, a lot of the Clover Studio games. Like, I still want God Hand again. That's probably never going to happen. I would love to see a... Well, actually, there was. They did 4K Okami. That game looks fucking beautiful. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Like, just off the top of my head, there's, like, some stuff that would be fun, but it's mainly for convenience, right? Like, I want my whole PS2 library on my PS5, right? But it's not going to happen. I don't know. Very rarely do I want to go through a whole old game completely.
Okay.
Right? Like, I'll go back and play a couple hours or do whatever and, like, just have nostalgia. But very rarely am I like, you know what I'm going to go do? I'm going to go replay all of Magic Pangle.
No.
Like, I'm not going to do that.
No. No. I don't know if I don't know what I'd want remake. I mean, like, he's saying remake. Like,
yeah.
Not an upscale.
Like, completely redone.
Yeah, I could take Persona 3. Make it look even cooler than Persona 5.
Yeah, but what if they took out the guns? What if there was no Evoker?
I don't know. Maybe they'll be out there with Seppuku.
Oh, yeah. Just cutting stomachs open out there? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
There
are definitely a lot of old games that I would like sequels to. But my stance of video games is still, I've experienced these stories before. Unless you're doing something drastically different. Like, I want something new.
So then, does that answer his question about how do you feel about these remakes?
Changing the story?
Yes.
I'm fine with it.
Yep.
It's the whole thing of, is the story good or not? And it's almost an impossible task in, like, the case of Final Fantasy VII, right? Like,
yeah.
It's this game that's been put on such a pedestal that, like, any change you make, no one's going to be happy.
Yeah.
But I kind of don't mind it. Like, it's...
But you didn't play Final Fantasy VII.
Like, that's the thing. I'm thinking of games where, like, I have reverence for it.
Oh, okay.
Right? Like, I don't think I would mind it because I can always go back and play the old ones.
Right.
Right? It doesn't change the fact that this is the original story that's existed. Like, a perfect modern example of that is, like, gameplay in Metal Gear Solid V. Right, the way that whole game is structured and is laid out was completely changed as soon as Konami got rid of Kojima.
Yeah,
right, and almost to a point where, like, I go back to it and I'm like, okay, like, it's different, but also, like, it doesn't really ruin it. If anything, I can just unpatch it and then play it again, like, because I have the disc, right?
That's true. Yeah, I'm all for the remake stuff. Like, yeah. Old stuff is there if I really want to play it, you know?
If you want to play your boy Makoto with a revolver to the face.
Yeah, it's there.
You could also role play it with your toys.
Could. I really could. But no, give me some new shit. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, I'm here for the new stuff.
Yeah. But there you go. That's the answer. Hopefully that satisfies you, Paul.
My whole thing is, like, I want the new stuff, But like the old stuff, in certain cases, like sometimes don't get invalidated, I guess, because there's something new. Like there's a lot of, it's the same thing with like movies, I feel, where like just because a movie is old doesn't mean it's bad. Where games, like just because a game is old doesn't mean it's bad. Like I go back to Metal Gear Solid 2, and like sure there's some like janky shit with like putting your back up against the wall or whatever. But other than that, like there's still a perfectly playable game.
I think though the comparison that we're trying to get here is like, what if there was a remade Metal Gear Solid 2? Does that invalidate Metal Gear Solid 2?
No. Okay. No, it does not.
Because I'm trying to think about like, your movie argument. I'm like, you know what? There's a lot of Spider-Mans I don't want to watch anymore after the new ones.
You don't watch Spider-Man 3? That sweet musical with Sandman?
I could care less for any of Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. Oh, okay. Like, they could all die in a fire. Mm.
What about Tokyo Drift, though? What about Fast and the Furious Uno?
But the thing, that's different. That's a sequel. They didn't remake Fast and the Furious.
Okay.
All right. Like, if in 5 years we have a Fast and Furious remastered series, yeah, or like they rebooted it, who knows?
But that also happens. Like, that was that wet western, True Grit. Like, I think the original came out like the 70s or some shit. And then they remade it, and we watched it before, and we both really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Right? But it doesn't really invalidate the old one. It's just like,
here's, to be fair, I've never seen the, I can't use that comparison. I've never seen the original.
It's like, I don't know, in my mind, it doesn't invalidate the old one. It's just, this is its own thing. It's a product of its time. It's for sure. It's more interesting as a history lesson, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I don't know. It's I think it's a case-by-case scenario. I don't think you could just, like, blanket statement it.
Yeah, people still say, like, what was it? Not Casablanca. Well, even Casablanca. Just as, like, older movies, like black and white films being like, this is the peak of cinema, right?
Sure.
Obviously, technology has gotten better and stories have gotten more complex. But just because things have advanced doesn't invalidate the old stuff.
Yes, it does.
Oh, my God.
I had to throw it in there. I had to get it in there.
How could you?
People needed to know.
People, they need to know that we only live in Neo Tokyo.
You got it. And
so does this mean that the new Evangelion movies replace
the TV series?
The TV series?
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
Absolutely.
You doubled down. You doubled down on it. Absolutely. Okay. All right. Whatever you say.
I have a lot riding on this fourth movie.
Okay. I'll remember this.
And that's it.
Yeah, stick around for Anime Club in a separate video. Check out the channel for that. They should be uploaded at the same time.
Yep.
But yeah, we are continuing on the Lelouch train.
That's true, we are. Cool.
See you later.
Bye.